Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The families and victims equality group SAVE are campaigning for an end to concurrent sentencing for murderers and rapists. That's, by the way, where a sentence... I'll give you an example. If somebody, which somebody sadly did, murder the mother and three children, they get, say, 14 years for each one of those murders. They run concurrently, which means they only serve 14 years. Whereas if that was in the United States, for example, they would get consecutive sentencing, which means they would get 14 years. Well, they'd probably get more than that. They'd probably get life. So they get triple life. In other words, they'll never see the light of day again. Whereas in Ireland, we have concurrent sentencing, which is quite bizarre. They also want the adoption of a tariff-based release system whereby individuals must serve a minimum period before they meet the requirements for concessions and release, and an end to day release and parole, and the establishment of a state-sponsored body to help victims of families who are out there. And I want to speak to Paddy Campbell, who's the mother of Kira Nicotil, and I'm going to pronounce that wrong. And Kira, sadly, was murdered back in 2007. Paddy, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Paddy?
Good afternoon now. Thanks for having me.
And I'm sorry for mispronouncing your second name in Irish. I do apologize.
Nicotil, yeah.
Okay. Kira, she was murdered by her ex-boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
Gordon Molloy, who's now serving a life sentence in jail. And I remember reading one of the articles in the paper there earlier on today. At one point, he did get out to meet his family, and something that you weren't even informed about at the time. And there was also a suggestion as well that he be released again, on a day release. And this is something that you and other victims of people who have been murdered are campaigning against. The idea, firstly, that you are not even informed about it, but secondly, that they get out at all.
First of all, if you don't write into the IPS and request outside movement of the prisoner, then you will not be informed. Now, after my husband, unfortunately, did meet Gordon Molloy after he murdered Kira, I did write into the IPS. So last July, before he had been 10 years in jail, I received a phone call late on Friday evening to say he was being given a day release. That Sunday, less than 48 hours later. Because the parole board felt it was in his best interest to keep in contact with his family, and because he had been behaving himself, which means he didn't give the prison service any hassle, and he has been attending courses. Now, this year, 2 weeks ago, we received word that he was due a second day out in under a year this weekend. Now, that has since been revoked 2 days ago, mostly due to public opinion and people writing in to Charlie Flanagan and the Minister of Justice complaining that, expressing their disgust, really, that convicted murderers, after less than 10, 11 years in jail, can request days out to go see their families when we get to go visit a grave.
Mm-hmm.
And Kira was our only child.
And I don't want to bring that really, and I know it's a really bad memory for you, and I know, but the memory of Kira obviously is beautiful and always will be, but the memory of that day back in November 2007 when her ex-boyfriend took her life must have been a day that you'll never forget, and a time, I suppose, leading right up to 2009 when he was eventually convicted and sentenced to jail. That must have been a terrible period in your life.
Well, at the time, she was actually murdered on my brother Kieran's anniversary. And it was a time when my mother was dying. She died a few weeks later. So we were already in a lot of turmoil in the family. So I think I must have spent the guts of the next year in shock.
Mm.
And so that was a year that's pretty much lost. I have a lot of memories that are missing from that year. And so you were stumbling from it and then straight into the trial.
And the trauma of murder, because I've only been speaking recently about certain murder cases that are in the courts that I can't discuss in the air, obviously. But I, as a parent, if anything happened to my daughter, my son, I've said this to some of the staff here, and they all said the same thing, that I don't think the person would make it as far as a courtroom, because I would do time for somebody who damaged or hurt my family. And I'm sure as a mother, you felt that pain, that you wanted this person behind bars for the rest of their life. You wanted to see some form of retribution, I suppose, for what happened to your daughter. And I don't want to bring back the bad memory. For those who don't know the case of your daughter, your daughter was murdered in the most vicious way. And not only that, he also attempted to have sex with her after she had died. And I know it's a horrendous, horrendous crime, and nothing will ever make you feel better about the way that she passed away and what should happen to this man that committed this horrendous crime. So even the thoughts of him, you know, being out in the open and breathing the same fresh air that you and I breathe is awful to think about.
It's absolutely horrendous. And the scales are just so totally unbalanced in on behalf of the perpetrators of murder. I mean, Kira was 22 years old. She had a whole life ahead. I mean, the average life expectancy for a woman is 82 to 85 years.
And she had a little four-year-old. She's a little four-year-old at the time as well.
Yes, she had a four-year-old son, Jamie.
Yeah.
He's nearly 17. But to think that once she died, that was the end of it for the Department of Justice. There's absolutely no justice once you're dead. Everything seems geared towards rehabilitation of offenders. You know, the life sentence for murder should be a punishment for the harshest punishment imaginable for the most horrendous crime that you can do to anybody in this country. You know, it shouldn't be a slap on the wrist that when you behave yourself, we're going to give you perks. After 10 years, you can request a day out every 6 months to go visit your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you're saying the only visiting you can do is to a grave, unfortunately.
That's it, yeah. So we get to look at her grave, and he gets days out in the sunshine.
And you do, at the time he was convicted, by the way.
And it's not justice, and it is not serving your time. It's behaving yourself and a carrot and stick being rewarded for not giving the prison service any grief.
At the time he was convicted, I'm not too sure whether they had introduced it at the time, but they probably had the victim impact statement. Did you give a victim impact statement?
No, we had it ready.
Right.
And to be honest, I can't even remember if they asked it. All I can remember the judge saying is life.
Yeah.
And I remember turning to everybody and saying, the family were like, yes, life, life. And I was looking around and saying, how long is that? How long is that? And nobody could answer me because none of us knew.
That's the problem in Ireland. That's the problem in Ireland. Life could be 15 years. It could be 20 years. We don't actually know what it is.
No, we don't. Which is why, as families, every 1.5 to 3 years after they've served 7 years, we have to continually write to the parole board to let them know how the murder has impacted us. So we have to keep doing this every time, every member of the family. Because if we don't, then there's no objection to him getting out.
I mean, his defense at the time said he was suffering from borderline personality disorder. They always kind of come up with those lines. And he had a substantial diminished responsibility for the killing.
Mm-hmm.
That thankfully, that didn't affect the judge's decision in relation to his sentence.
And that is an insult to everybody who has, unfortunately, a mental health issue.
Absolutely.
Total
I would
insult.
Agree. There is no excuse for what he did to Kira and the way he killed her. Mm-hmm. And not just the fact that he killed her. I mean, that's bad enough, but it was the way he killed her as well.
Yes.
I mean, did he show any remorse, by the way?
No. He apologised to his family for putting them through a trial.
But not to your family for taking her,
never to
your
us.
Daughter.
And like I say, not only did he claim diminished responsibility, but he had told his friends and threatened Kira for over 2 months before it that he was going to kill her if she didn't take him back. That is not diminished responsibility. That is premeditated murder.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so the fact that they can now, after 11 years, to say, oh, he's a candidate for rehabilitation, let us reward his behaviour. You know, it really is a kick in the teeth. And it is a total, an utter insult to Kira's life and her memory. And we're just unbelievably disgusted that allegedly intelligent people can sit down and look at the facts and then come to this conclusion. And like I said, I don't doubt that there are some people who are candidates for rehabilitation. But you serve if you do the crime, you serve the sentence. And if it's the worst crime you can commit in this country, then you get the harshest sentence. You don't get days out.
And I know Rachel Callaghan's mother was there as well yesterday at the campaign too, obviously, you know, and Joe O'Reilly is still in jail, thankfully, and will stay there for a lot longer. Because again, we don't know how long Joe O'Reilly is going to stay in jail.
No, and he's facing his death out.
Yep.
Because he's already done 10 years.
And that must be so difficult on Rachel's mother.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's, and looking at all of the families that surrounded us, I mean, it was communal grief at its harshest. You know,
I couldn't imagine what it would be like for you, Paddy, you know, to walk down the road and meet this guy, Gordon, you know, walking up the road on a day that he's out on a day release or something like that. You know, I couldn't imagine what that feeling must be like. You never want to see this person to see the light of day again.
No. And it's not just that we don't want to see him again. It's the fact that we know he'll do it again. And we don't ever want anybody to ever feel the way we feel every single day.
He's a dangerous murderer. That's it.
And that's the way the justice system are treating us, is that we don't matter. And the people of Ireland don't matter. I mean, if I kill a TD, for example, I have an automatic 40 years without parole. Attempted murder is 20. So why are we worth less than elected representatives or prison officers or guards or visiting dignitaries?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we worth less? To the government, we're worthless.
So you believe for the crime of murder, unlike manslaughter, by the way, which is not premeditated, you believe there should be no discretionary powers of the judges. It should be just life in jail. And life should mean, what do you believe? At the moment, life currently in this country under the Constitution, as far as I know, it's a maximum of 25 years, isn't it?
No. Life in this country is an average, they say it's an average of 18, which is more or less than 18. Well, we were told was 14 to 17 years.
I think the longest-serving prisoner we've had
is somebody's life.
22.
Yeah, but that's what we're told. It's an average.
Yeah.
There is no finite number. We want the judges to have the discretion to impose a basic minimum of, say, 20, 25 years, going right up to a whole life order, that if you are most definitely not a candidate for rehabilitation, you should never get out. You are a danger to others.
There was that case there last year in Scotland. Do you remember that young lady in Scotland that I can't remember her name now, but she was murdered and she was put into a barrel of lime.
Yep.
I remember that. Well, the judge in that particular case recommended a minimum of 20. What was her name again? Sorry, Helena? Karen Buckley, that's right. And the judge recommended a minimum of 23 years in jail with no parole. And even at the end of the 23 years, he had to come before a parole board to see if he was ready for release. And that the idea of doing something like that to guarantee a certain amount of time that they will never see the light of day until that
time—that's
time.
Exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we deserve, because we never get a chance to move on or grieve. Because you have the trial, you have the murder. Then 2 to 3 years later, you have the trial. 3 years after that, you're coming up on parole, and then every 1.5 to 3 years, your parole board again and again, and then your phone calls for days out, and hospital visits, and dentist appointments, because they're leaving the jail. And this is constantly going on and on and on. If it was a minimum tariff, we know that we have 20 years to breathe, to attempt to live, without constantly worrying, is he going to get out? Who is next to die?
Because he's clearly a dangerous man. Extremely dangerous man.
He was on a bail or appeal when he murdered Kira for attempted GBH. This is not his first crime.
He seemed to blame a number of things apart from himself. He also blamed the fact that he was drinking heavily on the day as well, and all sorts of things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But fortunately, in Ireland, alcohol and drugs are not mitigating factors for any crime. That's the only good thing about our laws that I can see in relation to murder. You know,
it should never be a mitigating factor.
No, should not be mitigating factors.
You choose to drink too much. You choose to take drugs. You choose to do all these things.
Murder.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is premeditated. It is planned. It is planned in advance. You know, this, as you said, manslaughter is, the end result is the same. Your loved one is dead. But with manslaughter, it's it's unintentional, as in it wasn't a pre-planned process.
Yeah, and there is different circumstances. There's different circumstances around those type of crimes, of course. Whereas murder is just intentional; it's premeditated. He went out because he knew she had met another man. He went out intentionally because she didn't want to be with him to kill her.
But they had split up over 2 months at that stage.
Mm.
You know, and Kira kept quiet about it, and she wouldn't come to the guards with us when she told us the day before. She just felt that if she kept quiet and she didn't say anything, it would go away.
And did she take him seriously? Away. Did she think he was serious, or did she think they were idle threats?
I think she knew they were serious, but she wanted to believe they were idle threats.
Mm.
I didn't see it as an idle threat.
As a mother, you were genuinely worried.
I didn't believe they would do it.
Yeah.
Because when people say, "I'm going to kill you," you don't. Nobody expects somebody to do that.
No.
You know, not in decent society. You know, they're throwaway words, you would assume. But when it's an ongoing process of threats, if you don't take me back, I will kill you. If you don't take me back, I will hurt you. Then it is a definite threat, which was something that hindsight's beautiful.
I know.
Had we known, I'd have hauled her by the ponytail straight to the guards. But, you know, looking back, she didn't see it as, she didn't portray it to us that it was something that was immediate, that it was going to happen. And we had said to ourselves, myself and Micheál, you know, we'll give her a couple of days and we'll work on her, you know, and we'll get her to go to the guards.
Mm-hmm.
Within 24 hours, she was dead.
And that day, when the guards called to the house and told you that, that must have been...
They told Micheál I was at work. I got a phone call when I was leaving Dublin. Micheál got home and they were in the driveway. And so he phoned me.
I tell you, that's a sight no parent ever wants to see.
No.
It's two guards at the door and with their hats off.
Yeah, and there are triggers. I mean, a couple of months, last year, a horse died up the road from us. And I was sitting in the living room and a guard walked past the window. Now, we live in the middle of nowhere. And they talk about flashbacks. You know, we don't have guards coming around our area.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You automatically think,
something's wrong.
Jesus, something's happened.
Yeah.
You know, so there are lots of
triggers.
But
you never for a minute think they're going to tell you that your daughter's been murdered. That's the last
thing. Oh, hell no.
That's the last thing you think of. You know, even with everything that's gone before it and with the threats, it's just the last thing that you think is actually going to happen, you know? And not just murdered. And again, I don't want to go into the details of the case for many people listening, but it's just to point out that she was murdered in the most heinous way.
Yeah.
And what he tried to do after he murdered her as well. I mean, absolutely, this man is an animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Animals wouldn't do that.
No.
That's just pure evil. And for the parole board to look at this, but you see, the thing was, he wasn't charged with necrophilia. And we were only told about it days before the trial because the DPP and the barrister from
and
the
why wasn't he charged? Was he charged with rape?
No.
Why wasn't he charged with rape and necrophilia as well?
When I asked that, they told me that they didn't have enough evidence. Now, they had a confession. They had Kira's naked body in the bath. They had him half naked, like I said, and a confession. But they told us a couple of days before the start of the trial that he was being charged with the most serious offence you could ever be charged with in this country. And that was the most serious offence. Well, we were still in shock. And we never thought, it was actually years before we realised, when he gets out, he's not going to be on the sex offenders register. And the same with John Williams' sister Sharon. Brian Hennessy was only charged with murder, even though the evidence was there for rape. He will not be on the sex offenders register either. So how many more are there that the state are picking the easy option? And it was an easy trial for the state, because Molloy confessed.
What sort of animal? I mean, the thing about it is, here we are, you know, we try to live in a reasonably peaceful society. And what sort of animal would murder somebody and then, after they've murdered them, want to have sex with them? This is the somehow the justice system wants to release back into society at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his answer to that was he wanted to have sex with her one more time. She had said no. I mean, what more do the parole board need? What more does Charlie Flanagan need? To know that this is somebody who should never be allowed out near women and children and men again. He showed violence towards all of them. He's not discriminatory. You know, he's an evil person. And this is, unfortunately, he's not the only one.
And that it's most likely, when he does get out, he'll have a girlfriend. He may end up getting married again to somebody who maybe doesn't have the full, you know, I suppose, details of what he actually did.
Exactly. Or worse, you could be sitting next to him at a pub. And you wouldn't know. And you, even if the time comes when we do have access to a register for offenders, he won't be on it.
It's it's
that is a very, very
and just to point out the other thing as well, if indeed he had been charged with the rape and necrophilia, which are both crimes in this country, by the way, obviously, if he, even if he was charged, he might have got just concurrent sentencing. And this is something else that you spoke about yesterday
it
in the campaign.
Would have been concurrent, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for example, what John Whelan's sister, Sharon, and the children, Zara and Nadia, that was three murders. Brian Hennessy's going to spend jail time for one murder.
It was 14 years, I think, wasn't it, he got? As far
as I remember. And he appealed it. He was actually given three life sentences.
But you know the message? The message that sends out to crazy people in the world, or in this country certainly, is that if you're going to kill somebody, you might as well kill a few while you're at it.
Exactly.
Because you're going to get a concurrent sentence.
Gordon Malloy admitted that to guards as well. But had Kira come home with any man, he would have killed him too. He planned multiple homicides that day. But he didn't testify. He wouldn't take
because he pleaded guilty. Yes,
he didn't. He pleaded diminished responsibility.
His
only witness
was
a bought psychiatrist from England, who tried to tell us.
So he didn't have to testify because of the diminished responsibility.
Yep, and also because he didn't want to.
Because he didn't want to. He has a choice not to.
He didn't want it coming out of trial. What he had done.
Well, it does seem to me in this country, with the perpetrators seem to have more rights than the victims, to be honest with you. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're recommending to the Minister of Justice is a minimum sentence for murder, and obviously some sort of defined sentence, so at least people like yourself and the victims, the real victims of these crimes, actually know how long this person is going to be in jail for, and a reasonable amount of time, and also for the abolition of these concurrent sentencing in serious crimes like murder. Which I think is common sense, to be honest with you.
It is common sense. And that parole should not be available until you've served your sentence. You know, you shouldn't still have the families having to relive everything between 1 and 3 years. It takes, on average, they give us 3 months' notice. And it takes that 3 months for you to write that proposal that you know Gordon Malloy is going to see. And we were told, be careful about what you write, because the prisoners get off on your pain. I honestly don't care. I write from the heart when I send in my proposal. I don't care if he sees it. If I can put one step in front of the other to keep him and murderers like him in jail for as long as possible, then I don't care what he sees. We weren't allowed to give the parole board a photograph of Kira until I gave it to Gordon Malloy as well. Because they felt that, I felt the parole board should know who was murdered. They should look at Kira's face
had to send a photograph to Gordon Malloy before you could send it to the parole board.
Yes.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that sick?
It is twisted, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And we are pretty much writing the script for his parole hearings. Because if we object and say he has never shown remorse, he sees that first before he goes to parole. And he then goes into the parole board and shows remorse.
And just because of good behaviour, inverted commas, he gets these concessions. And I always thought that was quite bizarre, because when you go to jail, you should be well behaved. If you're not well behaved, you should get your prison sentence extended, as they would in the United States, for example, if you didn't behave yourself. You know, behaving yourself just should get you out on time, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. That's my point too.
Yeah.
You do you the time you're given, but they aren't given time. Because there is no minimum sentence. It's an average.
Well, listen, all I can say is I wish you well, and I wish the other people who are involved in the Sentencing and Victims Equality Group well in getting what you want. Okay. I believe you should
get
everything you want, Paddy. And my condolences.
And can I just ask if anybody out there would wish to write to Charlie Flanagan and let him know how you would feel about having a murderer next door to you, and whether or not you would agree with him serving a minimum sentence. Now, please write in and let him know how the people feel.
All right. Do you have a Facebook page set up, Paddy, for this?
We do. Save.ie.
Okay, so it's save.ie.
SAVE. That's us.
Okay. All right.
And
listen.
The logo is on balanced scales.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed, Paddy. And my condolences still to you and your family as well, and your friends as well, on the loss of your daughter, Kira. All right.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Look after yourself.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. What a shocking, shocking story. And I didn't want to obviously go into too much of the details of the murder because it is one of the most shocking murders I've ever heard of. Obviously, the murder was down to the reasons for the murder recorded in the court was accumulation of drink and jealousy. And what a disgusting human being who should never see the light of day again. And she's absolutely right. There should be some sort of minimum sentencing for that kind of thing. I mean, life should mean life, shouldn't it? If it was your daughter, your son, your mother, your brother, your father, you would want life. You wouldn't want to see that person breathe oxygen in society again.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.